How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
What is that now? 12 hands in a row? Dukes, you son of a bitch, nobody's that lucky.
Now here's your host, the Big Silly.
Chad Dukes.
Charlie Hotel.
Alpha Delta, yeah, Dukes, dig it!
There, but for the grace of God, do with me.
Boy, it's your pal, Sweet Daddy James. I have another Free Friday episode for you from the Chad Dukes Show. I really do hope you guys enjoyed the bonus material that we put out there for you. Dukes got a chance to sit down with Channing Wilson for our little phone interview. Put that out there for everybody because that interview went really long. It went long, but it was really good. Dukes was pleased. Just gives you guys some extra content. But what a hell of a week that we just had. Towards the end of the previous week, the weight loss bet was finally paid off. They brought me in here, set me at a table, made me take my shirt off. They had planned on doing a show, but the show turned out to be so much fun that we made it your Monday episode. So it was Shude, Money Monk, Ant-Man, and Joe Sandwich. Dick Smokan kind of joined a little later in the show. We found out Money Monk has officially made a new acquisition. Dukes had an issue in his neighborhood with people walking their dogs. We find out that Ant-Man stinks at telling stories, which is no surprise to anybody. And they dive into the world of how science and technology are steering us, all while I'm just being needled back there at the table. But I pulled a good chunk of this show for you guys, so I have the lead up to my tattoo starting, and then the reveal. If you haven't seen the tattoo yet, don't worry. Go to ChadDukeshow.com. It's going to be the show picture. Enjoy.
Friendos, if you're in the area, make sure you visit Commonwealth Dry Goods in scenic Old Town Fairfax. They have the very best in local candles, peanuts, gifts, chocolates, olive oil, hot sauce, along with ice-cold cheer wine, and both types of music on vinyl. You can check them out on Instagram and Facebook at Commonwealth Dry Goods or order online today at CommonwealthDryGoods.com.
First of all, let's give a big thank you. Dixer World Class Custom Tattooing, established in 2018, DixerTattoo.com. They are located right here, Main Street in Fairfax, baby. That's right. Chewing the Sons of Main Street. That's what we call all of us. So if you want to get fabulous tattoo art done, Dixer's your guy. He was recommended to me by the most tattooed man that I know. It's the one-man gang from the WWF, and it is John from John and Amanda. He's got tattoos on his eyelids. I mean, this dude is covering up something. He's got some psychological issues, but all of his shit looks really good. And he goes to DixerTattoo.com. That is who will be tattooing Jim Daddy tonight. Sweet Daddy James, as his big fat ass pays off, losing another bet. He still weighs 1 million pounds. He's going to lose to Ant-Man next. I can't wait. He's the biggest loser.
I'm fucking steamed up.
Now, here's the thing. Here's what's great about Jim. He's way over there away from a microphone, so he can't say shit.
Yeah.
Oh, you heard the hey there, boy. So what's happening is that, oh, let me introduce our fine panel here. By the way, the winner of the bet is here, Mr. Wingsman OBX, the Kalachi. Congratulations, Kalachi.
Thank you. It's the first bet I've won in a long time.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know that you lost the bet, and I still didn't get the payoff in the Goro statue. I call that pulling a monk.
Yeah.
But congratulations, Amen. This has to feel good. You're going to watch Jester get our faces tattooed on him in Robin Hood poses.
Yeah, I'm fucking so excited about this. Unfortunately, I had to get Ted as a fish on my leg. And after that, I
said... That's a very difficult sentence to try to tell people that are uninitiated about.
Yeah. I was like, after that, I've got to do everything to not get another tattoo of a friend on my body. And luckily for me, Jim could not stop eating. And...
By the way, he's writing an autobiography. I don't know if you guys know this, and it's called "I'm Jim, I Can't Stop Eating."
Yeah.
So, the Hey Dare Boy story.
Yeah. So,
also, I'm Jim, I can't stop nutting in women. When I bang women, I nut in them. The Jim Jester story. I'm incapable of wrapping latex around my schvanz.
He's the only person with a vasectomy still getting people pregnant.
Lambskin, go fuck yourself. That's the name of Sweet Daddy James's autobiography. I'm looking forward to it. It's coming out in paperback real soon. I got new paper. But Ant-Man, this is a big win for you.
Yeah, huge.
I'd say one of your biggest in the history of the show. So I want to say I think you defeating She Gon' Die in the Rodcast Athletic competition we had.
Yeah.
But that was back before your former moniker of Hips to My Lou.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember
that? That's a good one.
It was a good one.
Hips to My Lou was a great one.
It was good.
I tried to put on that Rodcast Athletic shirt, and it does not fit. And it was giant when I got it.
I think it was only a 3X, which, of course, we refer to as an Ant-Man medium.
Yeah.
Smoky Mountain Joe Von Curse the Freak. Joe Sandwich is in the building as well. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
You are buckied out, my friend.
I am.
All right.
Dixer is a big fan of Bucky's as well.
Well, who isn't, for the love of God? It's the greatest place on earth, and it's going to be great when the next time Jester goes. Well, let's be honest. He's never going to go to Bucky's ever again.
No.
Like, he's going to go into a casket before he goes into a Bucky's again.
Might be going to a casket real soon.
I hope so. Everybody cross your fingers. By the way, Monk, I'm going to need you to learn to run the board.
Yeah.
Money Monk from Money Monk's Fishing Charters is here as well. Hello, Monk man.
How you doing?
Tell you what, I've been better, but we'll get to my troubles in just a little bit. It's all about Jimmy tonight, and we're all very excited. Now, who here has seen the tattoo artwork?
I have.
You have. You're the only one. Kevin Smith has. Joe, have you seen it?
I have not.
Money Monk?
I would love to see it, but I have not.
Would you rather hold... I'm going to hold off, and I want to see it on the canvas that is Jim's zit-riddled back. Because Jim and Joe have the same problem where they get weird blemishes, and then they pick them until they bleed, and they turn into scars, and then they lie to us. So that's exciting to me. And I'm wondering if Dixer is going to, like, incorporate them into it. So, like, maybe he'll do, like, a connect-the-dots thing so that all the moles and zits, like, actually form a constellation, like, up above Robin Hood. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be like Orion's belt, you know? If it was Jester's belt, it would wrap all the way around his body. Yeah. Jim, stay away from that microphone. I have lots of things to say.
I mean, he could do the entire universe of all the different constellations on Jim's back.
You're getting
with all
real
the
fast
moles.
And loose, aren't you? Man? You can tell somebody's up here with no fear of ramifications. Holy shit. So, Monk, none of us... So, Ant-Man is the only one that's seen the artwork. Ant-Man, what is the... okay, so let's go over it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's me as Alan Adale.
Yep.
It's you as Little John.
Yep.
It's the Tuber as Robin Hood.
Yep.
Who's the fourth?
Money Monk.
Yes. Oh, Money Monk made it?
Yeah, Money Monk made it as Prince John.
And who's the fifth?
Tor.
There's
the
five
sheriff of Nottingham. Yeah.
Now, is Dixer Senior hernia, Jim? Oh, God, don't show him. No, don't look. Hey, can you turn that into something better? Like, can you make that into... Maybe he can turn that into Krang, where that's like the brain and the stomach, and then he puts the body on the other side of it. Can we get Krang on his fucking belly button?
Maybe like one of the alien tattoos, where it's the alien ripping out of his gut.
All right, Joe, take your shirt off. I mean, Jim, take your shirt off, for God's sake. The rest of the show will be done with your shirt off.
I can take my shirt off.
All right, Joe, take your shirt off, please. Thank you. But there are not a lot of women up here. So,
we can see who has the most dots on them.
Tell you what,
I'm gonna look this way.
I'm gonna walk this way. Now this is fantastic. Somehow Joe is one upping Jester at his moment of glory. All right, looks like we're getting ready to prime. What is the it's not a needle, right? What are we tattooing with today?
A needle.
Is it a needle?
Yeah.
What is the start time for the tattoo? Do we have an ETA?
We have an ETA for the start time.
He's still working.
Looks like he's just about ready.
Yeah, he's about to start.
10 minutes. All right. In 10 minutes, the tattoo will start. We've been told it's going to take 2 hours. I don't know if we're going to be here the whole time for it. But we wanted to be broadcasting as the bet was paid off. Now, as we can all see, Jim Jester has lost an enormous amount of weight.
He has?
I don't know. Just being a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's here and he's looking slim and slender. And by the end of this show, people are going to be thinking, holy shit, there's Conor McGregor.
If that's slim and slender, then I need to eat more because I'm anorexic.
All right, man, take your shirt off.
No, I'm not doing that.
I was saying, you'll be launching into all those diets, right?
Yeah.
You saw the artwork, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How excited were you when you saw it?
I was so happy. And when he first showed and he goes, is this the right size? I go, nope, make it bigger. And so he made it bigger. I was like, yeah, that's it.
Okay. That's because that's what everyone did with you when it was your time to get the hot tuna
tattoo
put on you.
It's going to be like a portrait.
How big?
It's
No. Remember, we're recording, so you need to say
something. It's about 8 inches wide.
He loves holding his hands.
It's about this big.
It's probably like eight
about
inches.
Yay big!
About 8 inches across and 6 inches tall. Maybe a little bit bigger.
How do I look on the artwork?
It's a portrait. It is a portrait of all pretty of accurate. Us with the character, the cartoon garbs.
Were you searching for the word caricature?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Can get that out, though?
Yeah.
I understand.
I'm not a broadcaster.
You've been fucking... By the way, I invited Dick to be on the show, and he is as weird.
I know.
And he keeps saying, I'm getting back to normal, and I've worked it all out. I've been to therapy, and my feet work. And I'm like, okay, dude, look, I can't wait for that to happen, because it hasn't happened yet.
You can't be farther away from the mic.
He's the squirreliest motherfucker. Dick, I invited you. I mean, he's back there squirreling it up. I sent a text specifically to four people.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is too scared to text me back, and then actually told me on the phone, I'm too scared to text you back.
Yeah,
you
want to
guess? Oh, Monko just ruined
that.
Oh, Joe.
Good job, Joe.
What are you worried about? I don't understand that I'm going to send this out poorly on you.
No, I wasn't scared. I just know you get really upset, you know, sometimes when somebody, you're really looking forward to something and somebody gives you no.
No.
I don't want to do that to you.
But you're here.
I thought it would be
fun. I ended up coming.
Yeah, that's another thing. He came. He ended up showing up.
So what the fuck?
I offered because I thought it'd be fun for you.
Oh, it is fun.
I thought you guys
yeah.
would enjoy being a part of this because it's a celebration of Jester failing.
It's definitely. I'm looking
happy.
Forward to a good time. Dick, I just had to move some things around.
Where are your headphones?
I think Ant-Man's wearing them.
What is going on with you? Why are you being so squirrely tonight?
There should be headphones,
normal.
Right?
I would drive up. And he's behind a car underneath a tree, and his hair is blending in with the tree. You know, like all the trees have those yellow things hanging off of them now, and they're like
helicopters.
They end up on your car. That's what Dick's head looks like.
Yeah.
What were you swirling around out in the parking garage?
Oh, I was just trying to be discreet, you know, with the bright blue shirt, yellow glasses, and yellow hair.
You've got a fucking traffic cone on top of your head. There's nothing discreet.
It also looked like it was Key Bump Central. I don't want to put that out there, but it seemed like that could potentially be the case. Man, I'll tell you what, all these donations are really amazing that are coming in right now. It's just been absolutely fantastic. So, it's tough. It's real tough. We're going for a two-show streak with Zero Stingy with De Niro. It's all right. No big deal. That's why this is the last show. Put it up on Monday. I got a lot of problems. We'll get to some of the problems.
Why is your shirt still on?
Yeah.
Take it off.
Take your shirt off.
No, I'm not doing that.
Come on.
I don't understand. When did you become modest?
Yeah, what is this?
There's 1,000 photos of you naked on the internet.
I've seen every inch of his body.
Every inch of his body.
Well, that's...
You were lying on your back in the back of the studio.
Looking at an ingrown hair.
We got to talk about that at some point.
I'm going to fucking show you it.
Do you ever get tired of lying? Like, don't you think that telling
I'm
the truth
I'm going to show
would
it
be
to Monk
cathartic?
Now because it is opened up. It has not.
It's the
it's
most
not,
miraculous recovery since
bullshit.
Since he blew his back out 3 years ago and was fine.
And then he was doing jumping jacks at fucking Shoney's when they brought around the fucking the French toast sticks for him to dip in the goddamn syrup. Now, Dick, you know a Brian Recluse spider, right?
Yes.
If you get bit by a brown recluse spider, does it look exactly like a moderately enraged zit?
No, it does not.
Because that's what Ant-Man showed us all on Tuesday night and then screamed and yelled and cursed us out and saying that we're all liars.
I mean, yeah. Also, he told me the exact same story and there was no hint of like lying whatsoever. He said he was on his way to the doctor because I called him.
Well, he told Monk he was on his way to Maryland because that's the go-to lie.
Yeah,
he was
going
to Rockville.
That's Rockville. He said, sorry, it was the same thing. But I'm like... And then he goes back, and I heard the story on the show, and I was like, that doesn't make sense, because he didn't seem like shady at all. It was the most clairvoyant sentence he'd ever said to me. So
later on that night, he told me he actually did go to Rockville.
I went to Rockville.
None of this is true. I went to Rockville. I want you to know.
It's not true.
And the only thing I know he went to was lunch. That's the only thing I can absolutely tell you that he
did. But not with us.
But not with us. Yeah, yeah. We were going to pay for his lunch.
You know what? Ant-Man's like an early version of like a bad AI. You know what I mean? Where it's like he's responding to you, but right. you're like, that doesn't make sense to the question I asked.
AI, write me a song that Bob Seger would write about a river. River flow wide, up, down, left.
You're not even spelling the words right.
Key lime pie.
Yeah.
Looks like we're about to start tattooing, by the way. Very, very excited.
That's a giant canvas.
Jim is.
Do you think? Oh, man. That's
you got a lot of space to work with there, Dixer. Yeah. I mean, very excited. Usually he probably doesn't get to work with this much space. He's going to have to be like Michelangelo with the Sistine Chapel ceiling. You know what I mean? Sitting it's up like there.
That's got to be the first big dog tattoo he's seen, right?
Because
nobody else has tattoo like that.
He should John Madden that big dog tattoo for us and tell us everything that's wrong with it. That would be fucking fantastic.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
Jim, you want him to cover up the big dog tattoo?
No!
Who's the Jim, who's the big dog again?
Me!
Oh, okay. Right.
No. I don't think Ant-Man's being modest, by the way. I think that the stars have aligned and he is nervous as hell. Because does that challenge still exist where Jester throws down the scale?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so there's like a tattoo artist here tonight. Like Ant-Man's like too scared
if
to like...
Jester had the sack to fast for like the past 24 hours and then just as soon as he was done, jump on the scale and challenge Ant-Man. That would be amazing because he's already had about three beers.
Yeah. All I got to do is piss, though. I'll be right rid of him.
I don't know if that's the way it works. I don't think so. Right rid of him.
Right rid of him.
You look like Michael
God
Rappaport.
Damn it, I was hoping nobody caught that.
Right rid of him. Dick, have you seen the tattoo yet?
I have not.
Getting excited to reviews. See it. Everybody's very excited about it.
Yeah, I want to see it.
I politicked. What do you guys think about this? I thought that, I know penis doesn't show up a lot.
Yeah.
But the character, Sir Piss Fishline, Sir Hiss Fishline.
Yeah.
Is the best character, I think, out of all the Robin Hood characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he should be incorporated at some point. If it's not tonight, that's fine. But with a snake, you can do the bit where it like wraps around, and then he's got the balloon on his head when he's flying around the fucking...
I wanted the drunk one.
Yeah, where you get stuck in the makeup.
Yeah. The bubbles.
Come here, come here.
There's no more character that more resembles its real life counterpart.
That's a great point. So, you look just like Sir Hiss.
And I behave just like, you know what I mean?
PJ, a stork is really Robin Hood. Robin Hood, you say.
Robin.
The problem is when Dick Friendly punches out, he'll still be immortalized on Jester's fucking back, which is really tough.
True. But also, when you can't find me, I'm usually drowning in a bottle of liquor. So
that's a great point.
You know?
We'll actually just have to say, I miss Dick. Jester, take your shirt off. The best part is going to be when Jimmy's down on the beach and when Ant-Man is taking pictures of his butt crack as he's trying to get up the goddamn dune. We'll also see the tattoo.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be glorious.
You guys know what they say about the big dog?
Big dog. Gotta eat.
Gotta eat.
Well, why'd you ruin that?
Because that's what people do.
People are stealing my bit.
Well, we've been hanging around you so much, Joe. We can't stop ruining shit.
Oh, I think is the stencil on? What's it called?
Ooh, it is.
Is it? Damn, man, don't look. Oh, you've already seen it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, go snap a pic real quick. Ask him if he's cool if you snap a pic.
I admire him for who's following through the gym.
Well, I mean,
I would have been in Arizona if I were in his shoes and welched hard on this one. I would have been gone.
That's why it's shitty. You're Raquel Welch. That's why it's
yeah. I would have been peace.
You have a grape juice named after you. And the reason why Anthony and Jim are better men than you is that they will pay off their bets.
Yeah, I got to give it to him.
Gosh.
Well, I mean,
Monk wouldn't put a magnet on his truck.
I know.
Jim is getting all of us tattooed on his back.
I think Monk offered you thousands of dollars to just not put a magnet on
his back. I'm not a fucking turncoat.
You gotta stop making bets with people that won't pay off their end.
I agree.
Well, there's only one of them that I do that with.
No. Bruce
I don't do it.
Bruce is supposed to be a Washington Commanders fan 10 years later.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. He welched on that bet, too. Yeah. What are you looking at there, Ant-Man?
This is the greatest thing on earth.
All right, I gotta see it.
I wanna see it.
No!
You don't want to just see the drawing.
Show Monk. You can show Monk.
You want to see it, Monk?
Yeah. Go over there. I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it either.
God, Monk has no discipline at all.
No,
he doesn't.
None. How good? How does it look?
It's going to be fucking amazing.
Oh, my.
All right, so Corey Reeder is here. Orgy Beard is here. Who else is here? Kevin Smith. I didn't see anybody else on the back there. Is that it? Just the three of us? Boy, that's a throng of audience members here to support Jim.
Dude, you had a year to lose 100 pounds, and you are already fucking down 40, and you fucked it up.
Can you imagine if he just would have started a month before?
I mean, yeah.
He could have fucked around for 6 months, turned it on in the last 6 months, and then you would be sitting up there like a jerk getting another tattoo.
He could have just kept dieting for 6 months, lost 120 pounds, and then ate like a maniac for the last 6 months and still beat
me. I guess you're J.R. Tolkien right now because you're just writing fiction right in front of us. There's no chance that would take place.
Because if he had done the whole year, he probably could have just cut like 100 calories a day, and he would have made a difference.
That's a really great point.
Yeah. He would have taken...
He could have drank.
One less cheeseburger.
Fed all his kids fucking McDoubles, all the hits. All the hits that he likes. The black mold. All this shit. Spending 6 months at the hospital. It's all of his favorite things to do. Here's the thing about Jim, too, is that one of the reasons why I don't think this stings as much for him is it's going to be his best tattoo.
Oh, yeah. By far.
It's a free tattoo. Far. Yeah. You know, like that's.
And it's not going to have Big Dog or Jester in the tattoo anywhere, so it's going
to
be great.
We got to. This is something we have to spend a little bit of time on.
Mm-hmm.
Jester has a tattoo that says Big Dog, and there's a big black tumor underneath it because there's nothing distinguishable about it. Just looks like a glob.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's Vermont, but just filled completely in. It's the outline of the state of Vermont filled completely in, and then it says Big Dog above it because Jester is the Big Dog.
Yeah. I think it might have been a dog before the 1,000 cheeseburgers, and then
I'm
going to
have to take your word for that.
Mm.
Now it's just a melanoma.
Yeah.
On the other side, he's got the Jester from, what was it, a malt liquor?
The Graphics Bongs.
From the Graphics Bongs.
Yeah. What is, I don't even know what that is.
It was a famous bong company. A pot smoking company, and they had like
Why do you guys keep saying Graphics Bongs?
Because that was the brand. Was the company.
It's not called Jester Bongs?
No, it's called Graphics.
I think Jester might have been the model of bong or whatever.
You're both talking at the same time. You have to stop doing that. You were in headphones, so you know, and each other are talking. So it's a bong logo.
Yes.
From a defunct bong company?
Yes.
Yeah.
Long
probably.
Defunct.
And I think they were acrylic too. They weren't even fancy.
But because his name is Jester.
Yeah.
So it's think about how selfish those two tattoos are.
Yeah.
It's a nickname and a last name. Yep. And now he's doing the most selfless thing he possibly can, which is get all of us tattooed on him.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, I know you were really upset.
Yes, I'm still upset.
You got aced out of this tattoo.
Yeah.
Wow.
How are you feeling about that? Because we're all really excited. We're about to be immortalized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supremely jealous. I and upset. I can't believe Jester is doing this to me.
He's actually the only one being left off of it if I get added on.
But he's going to be Ursula by himself.
Well, Tor got left off, right?
No, Tor's on there.
Tor's on there?
Yeah.
Tor doesn't deserve to be on there.
I agree. But Joe doesn't either.
Yes, I do.
You're Ursula. You're going to be your own tattoo.
Joe shows up. More than Tor does at this point.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I wish that was in reverse.
I'm the one that donates so that he gets paid.
Who?
Jester.
Oh, yeah, that was the other night.
No, I've done it before as well.
Really?
How do you afford that, though? You didn't get a raise.
That's the worst
promotion I've ever heard.
That's very true.
By the way,
those promotions before. They're not promotions.
I need Joe to donate tonight, too, so Jester can pay.
I'm not doing it now. He didn't have my face on his back.
But wait a minute. My face will be on his back, so you should donate because of that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you'd like to see that.
No. I want my face on his back.
You're Ursula.
So
you're going to be on his back in 6 months.
No, I'm going to be on your back.
No,
you're going to lose that.
If they get it, it's on the
thigh.
Which thigh do you have it on?
I have it on my right thigh already, so it'd be on the left. Yeah.
So can you fucking as much as I would love to see a giant Ursula tattoo with Joe's big dumb face on it on Jester's back, like that would make me really happy.
Yeah.
If Ant-Man's knees are devoted to both of his friends being aquatic life,
it's so weird.
I would kill myself.
I know, but
that.
What? Like,
that would be the end of all hope.
I would walk right out and fucking go right into the city and donk. Kill myself.
And you, by the way, he just dropped donk myself.
I caught myself. God damn it!
He didn't really because it came out of your mouth. And we all heard it.
Now here's the thing: Joe hasn't learned yet that Monk learned. Is that everything has a price. So, Joe, you just need to ask how much you'd have to donate to get added back.
Well, hold on. First, he's got to pay for it to go on because I'm paying for this tattoo.
Yeah,
everybody to understand, this is not gratis. This is you pay an artist for their work. So before everybody gets all high and mighty about adding fucking work to it, holy shit.
That's true.
Well, yeah, but what's the cost? I mean, everything's a negotiation.
Well, Tor didn't have to pay to get on his back.
That's true. Well,
he is the producer.
Some would say Tor paid by everything that happened on Friday night during the Hootenanny.
Yeah,
he had to take his shirt off with his indented nipples, and then had to read the short story, and then everybody went crazy. All that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I never noticed the indented nipples until the other night.
I mean, you can actually, yeah.
It's been at least 2 years.
They're like ramekins of ranch. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if you had like carrot sticks and things like that, you could dip them.
You could hold a lot of liquid.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I wish you had not pointed out because you just can never not look at them.
There's Tuber's got indented nipples. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm whatever reason, my listeners are heavy in the indented nipple game.
Fortunately for him, though, you just can't get past the nose. So I just never noticed.
With the tube?
I'm just like, what?
Yeah. Well, now that he's got the bizarre facial hair, like, it takes focus away from the freckle nose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I think he really took that seriously, so I tried to stay away from it. Oh, not sure if I missed it, but don't forget to plug the new FFS shirts. Let me do that right now. If you missed out on the first one, I've received lots of emails about this. We have Blockbuster Video. They're blue and yellow instead of being black and white. Go to ChadDukesShow.com, click the store tab. Bustles put those up. There's only 100 of them. If you missed out on the first run, I see a lot of people up here wearing them. They enjoy them. Not tonight, of course, but usually. If you want one, they are available, and I forgot to plug that. So thank you to Bustees for reminding me to do that as well during the tattoo portion of the show. Okay, so...
Oh, I hear the buzzing, the silent buzz.
It's not the.
It's not
as
loud as.
It's like we've evolved. Yeah. We've evolved as a humans, and now that there's not that, that glorious torture device.
Yeah.
Do you have a rusty one that's a little more malicious sound?
Monk, why?
Just dig real hard in there.
Again, just want to make sure everyone's clear. This man was not allowed to put a magnet on his truck.
Yeah.
When he's saying all these things.
Yeah.
That's true.
Also, why deprive him of the one tattoo that's not going to be using a rusty needle? Yeah.
I think those are jailhouse tats for Jimmy.
I mean, Mad Dog was definitely done with staples and ink. Big Dog was definitely a couple of staples
Mad
and
Dog.
Some fucking inks.
I hate that name. Yeah. Got some dude it up. Got to suck an egg trash. I forgot what he says there. I believe we have ignition. We have the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen.
If the Big Dog looks like any dog from this angle, it looks very much like a Scottish Terrier.
You think so?
I did kind of see that.
Well, just the outline.
Yeah.
It's like
medium dog.
The inside looks like the vast reaches of space.
I see what I think are ears, and then like 3 inches lower, there might be some eyeballs.
Yeah.
Like
you talking about Jim? No way.
Oh, he's done?
Holy shit, he's done.
Jim, don't turn around.
Jim, don't turn around. Because you're going to see my heart breaking. Don't turn around. I don't want you seeing me crying. Dexter, will you be on mic? You mind being on mic? No. Come on up here real quick.
Take Monk's
seat. Monk ain't going to say shit. Come on up here.
How much to take all of these off?
It's already done? That is fucking
that is
amazing.
Yeah.
Corey, how's it look? I can't fucking wait to see it.
Dude, Orgy right Beard here, looks like Vince McMahon when the bodybuilder came out. Orgy Beard, look at him.
Does he really? Oh, yeah. Everybody goes, wow. Dixer World Class Custom Tattooing.
Yes.
Go to DixerTattoo.com. Of course, Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 703-483-1993. Right up on the mic, brother man. First of all, thank you so much for coming up here, dude. Right, get right up
this
on
close,
that mic.
Like this close.
Yeah, right. Yeah. See, unfortunately, you got to really.
You almost got to kiss it.
You almost got to make out.
Just be happy. Just be happy it's not one of these too much.
Yeah, the guy in the left here is not diseased. We can't say that about everybody else in here.
Hey, goddammit.
How is Jester as a subject compared to other people you worked on? Well,
first of all, thanks for having me over. I really appreciate
man.
The experience.
Can't believe you're right across the street.
Like this is pretty much what we do all the time at the studio anyways.
Dude, they got the coolest setup.
It's great.
I walked in there and I thought, I was like, man, this is like a fucking spa or something.
Cheers,
like, this
man.
Is amazing.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Been able to do it in this
get a tattoo, wander right on downstairs and get hammered blackout and fucking eat some sliders.
And then come back up.
Yeah, come back up. I've made that trip with John several times.
No, he saw it well. He saw it
really, really?
Well.
Really?
Yeah.
How would you rate his physique?
A perfect 10.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
We're on an upside down scale here.
Well, if Ted was standing next to Jim, it would be a 10.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, man. So, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird is the tattoo as far as other stuff you've done?
I don't even know what's weird anymore, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
I've done some crazy stuff. I don't really know what's weird.
Does anyone else put their friends' heads on Disney characters and then tattoo them on their friends? is that rare at least?
I mean, this would be probably one of the few times that I've done stuff like this.
Okay.
I've done similar things with like other characters like Star Wars or you know.
Do you ever turn people down and say it's too fucking weird?
No.
Never?
No. Almost this year. Shit.
Almost. This was the only one. All right, now, what do you think of the big dog tattoo on his right arm?
I couldn't see it. What,
you know, is that some nice work right there?
That's pretty close. It's good.
Can you
tell
what is that? Is the dog facing us or is it facing
away? I thought
it
was a Rottweiler or something.
No, I think it's a Labradoodle.
Yeah. It reminds me of the movie Fly.
I'm not looking. Jesse just tried to ruin the whole thing for you, by the way. All right, Jimmy.
So it's the state of is Vermont, right?
Yes, the state of Vermont, because it's the Vermont Big Dogs. That's where Jimmy went to community college, and then he's got the he's got the Swisher Sweet logo on his other arm there.
Oh,
God. Jim Daddy, what is the best way for us to reveal your tattoo to the audience? You want
to
go over there to your mic? All right, but do like a crab walk over so we don't see it.
You sure just don't want to turn and face Chad when he's not.
Here's what you do, Jim. You got to go over here and go crab, crab, crab. Yeah. There you go. All right. So he's doing the crab walk.
Put yourself on camera, though.
The weird thing is, that's the way Jim just walks usually.
Yeah, it is. That's how I see him move all the time.
Yeah. One time, Jim got pepper sprayed because he walked the way past a middle school. Hey there, boys!
All right, I'll be back tomorrow.
Mommy Kimberly Milio says, I'm being tased!
Better text her first.
Oh, boy, Jim, you look like you were feeling it there for a second. How you feel now?
Yeah, the end of it got a little rough.
Well, they got to fill in they start filling the color in. Right. Like, I don't enjoy getting tattoos. A lot of people like it, right? A lot of people say they like it. Do you like it?
Some people talk about it as if it's like some type of sexual thing.
I agree.
At that point, I just have to stop and charge extra for that.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure all the licenses are updated.
Excuse me, lady. That's going to be extra.
D-I-X-E-R,
I see what you're doing with your leg there. You can't do that.
I'm trying to plug. Dixertattoo.com, D-I-X-E-R. All right, Jim, now, what is the best way to do this? Are you going to...
I can just do a dramatic turn here in my chair, and we can move the microphone out of the way.
Well, the chair is going to kind of be in the way if you do that.
Also, you can't spit on that thing.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we could try it.
Okay.
All right, hold on. I got the timpani here. Oh. Let me hit the timpani. All right, so this is to pay off the fact that you do not lose 100 pounds in a year.
Blocked by your name.
Yeah, your name. Take your name off.
Or slide your mic to the other side.
Tattoo Daddy James is his new name. Oh, that's me. I know you love me. Oh, God. Boy, I look really good tonight. Oh, my God. All right, here we go. All right, hold on. Let me hit the timpani again.
And move the microphone.
Move the mic.
The other way. Or way over there.
You're just a sexy piece of meat tonight, brother.
A sexy boy.
All right, turn around.
Look at all those bug bites.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So great. Lean back a little bit. Like, there you go. Perfect.
That is
the greatest thing ever.
Dude, that's
how are you going to go the rest of your life with that on you?
Get out of my fucking stud.
Face.
Oh, my God. Ant-Man's face. Ant-Man is so... That's actually perfect.
This looks like
is glorious.
Dude, that's spectacular.
Come over here. I got to look at it closer.
I've never looked better.
Wow.
There's way more.
I got to say.
There's way more detail than I thought there was.
That is, dude, well done, dude.
Thank you.
Especially to do that in this environment.
I have a little rooster head.
Yeah.
That is fucking funny.
Dude, this is the greatest thing ever.
It might be the best moment of my life. I've never been so honored.
What's it feel like?
It feels amazing, Joe. It's just like if someone would have tattooed my face on Ryan Reynolds, I'd feel the exact same way.
Now I know how you guys felt when I was sitting back there getting tattooed with Ted's fucking face.
That might be better than Ted's fucking face.
It's way better. It's way better because we're all on there. We can all share in the moment.
We're not
last
all
time
on
it was
there.
Just Ted.
We're not all on there.
Joe, we're all on there. Yeah. All of us. Joe, we're all on there.
I'm not on there.
I'll be on there soon. Don't worry.
Everybody that matters.
Hit the mouse, please. You make me butt nervous.
Oh, shit.
As soon as Jimmy's he sat down in the cockpit, holy shit.
He just bumped into the table. The mouse went everywhere.
All right, Jim, get your microphone over there. How do you, you've seen it, right?
I just saw the reflection in the TV.
I am the Frito Bandito. I gotta say, man, like, I know this sounds weird, but I don't think it's gonna cause you any shame at all.
No.
Because it's funny, but it also looks good. And I think you could come up with some bullshit like I was in Vietnam.
A band.
Yeah, I saved all these guys' lives.
I tried out for Robin Hood.
Yeah, we opened for U2 in Nottingham. That's why we got this done.
Yeah.
Just come up with some bullshit. Like all those like all those bug bites that you pick into scabs all over your body. Yeah. You just say, I got shot with a shotgun saving a woman that was pregnant, you know?
You put rock salt in their shotgun.
Yeah, yeah. Someone hit me with a tub of rock salt like Michael Madsen in fucking Kill Bill 2.
I just got tattooed. Stop being dicks.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. I mean,
the biggest problem with the tattoo is that it highlights how bad the other ones are.
Yeah, that's another issue.
It's a spectacular tattoo.
Another issue, though, is, Dixer, do you think maybe we could turn all of the scabs and moles into the night sky?
Yeah. Oh,
like with like an O'Brien. Is O'Brien one?
Yeah,
sure.
O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien from Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah, we can definitely do that. There's a, you know, I think your phone has an app for that. You just.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just shining at him. There. Yeah. Right there is the fucking Orion's belt.
What an amazing payoff. Just a perfect payoff.
If you're interested in buying or selling a home, there's only one person you should call, and that's Joe Azer. You can reach him at 571-989-2937. That's 571-989-AZER.
I'm not going to lie. The idea of getting the moles and the scars and all the other just terribleness I've done to my skin over the years into kind of like the solar system, it's a bit intriguing, slightly hurtful, but a bit intriguing. And now I have this lifetime mark on me with everybody's face. Well, except for Joe, as you heard. Tuesday, Dukes had Gigantor come back in town after his West Coast trip. They discuss my tattooing and how Tor was not a big fan of being a part of the tattoo. They discussed Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and how it had just an underwhelming debut, which I'll be checking out this weekend at the box office. But what I grabbed for you from our Tuesday show, they're wrapping up kind of the talk of my tattoo. It dives right into my terrible skin. Dukes has an interesting new bonus show idea. We'll see how Tor feels about it. And there's a new song that I was not allowed to listen to. I just knew it was trouble.
Everybody, the Chad Dukes Show Spotify page has updated playlists for your listening pleasure, including songs handpicked for our Tennessee road trip and 90s country playlists. Just follow the Chad Dukes Show on Spotify and you'll see all of the show's favorite tunes.
Can I ask you about that? That angry little blemish to the upper right of the tattoo. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about that thing?
A 10 out of 10. But if I was Jester, I wouldn't go to a doctor.
Just let time run out?
There's no... Well, you're just going to go there, and you're going to hear a dozen things you don't want to hear.
Yeah, I mean, at least.
Then the follow-up, it's going to be, oh, here's 24 more.
Sure. Can you imagine if they really got a hold of him, and they got to... And they really got their meat hooks into him. Like they're doing bone marrow scans and fucking blood tests and saliva and cum and shit. Like,
where do you think you're going,
man? Get the fuck back. Lay down on this bed. We're going to strap you to it. You're going in that MRI tube for 3 months.
It's
they don't. By the way, we don't have an MRI tube we can fit this motherfucker in. Oh, that's funny. There is a... I tried to help Jester out and crop that thing out. But unfortunately, I would have cropped a little bit of your character out of the tattoo, so I couldn't do it. So for those people that haven't seen the picture, big, angry, somehow a zit and a blackhead. Very difficult to do. Very difficult to do there.
Hi, drink more water, Jimmy. Drink more water.
How about just water?
That's a good, great point.
When's the last time you think Jim had a glass of water? Oof. I remember we first started the show watching you go in the back and fill up a water bottle and force Anthony to drink down a bottle of water before you let him leave here.
He said he was having 3 Frosties a day. Which
you tried to put him on the pitch count. You tried to do some good by him.
You should have a pitch count still.
I completely agree.
I mean, your skin is better if you're hydrated. That's kind of simple human math.
I haven't seen anyone with this many blemishes on their like their back at this age. Like that's kind of something you go through when you're in your formative years and you're not showering as much. Maybe you're playing a sport, you know, something like that. This is a next level of back knee, which, of course, leads me to my next hootenanny that I want to do. And I'm giving the big pitch to Tor because I want him to be our Dr. Pimple Popper. But I want to lay Jimmy out on like a massage table here in the studio on his belly. And then I want to have Tor come through like the attractive Asian lady and pop all of the fucking pimples and dig out the blackheads and lance everything. Because I think that we would do gangbusters on Facebook if we put on a show like that. And I pitched the idea today to Young Gigantor, and much to my surprise, I was thoroughly rebuffed.
That, let me catch myself right now, because you're using some broadcasting language, which is rather descriptive. I'd say you're not just telling.
Broadcasting language.
You're going the, you know what, that broadcaster, you know how to paint the picture of what would be going down. But with that come details, and I'm going to move this picture of Jim Jester's back off of my computer.
Because now you're focusing on what I was just referring to.
Before I make myself sick. Yeah.
Imagine. Because there's that little tool. Do you watch those videos?
You keep saying imagine. Oh, okay. I'm not trying to. I'm trying to go as far away from that place as I can.
Have you seen any of the videos of which I am referring?
Yeah. I blocked a listener for sending me a video.
Right. Well,
yeah,
they're not your thing, but they're my thing. There's a little metal loop, mm-hmm. and they use it where they put it down into what fairly innocuous tiny little black dot, and they push down, and the thing pops out like a snake, and then the little black kid is on the tip of it. Jester's got conservatively 700 of those just in this one quadrant of his back. So, Tor, you look a little peakish there, brother.
I'm not. We're doing fine.
Tor could, I mean, conceivably, we could spend the first, I'm thinking a four-episode fucking sweeping epic where we divide his back up into quadrants, and then you go upper left, upper right, lower left, lower right, and we do a four-part miniseries, and then maybe potentially release them on a four-part CD after we do the Hootenanny. All of which I would help you get a piece of, by the way, since you would be the star and the focus.
And Jim. You see, I appreciate that. That's very generous. I'm going to have to submit a humble no.
You'd be Dr. Pimple Popper.
I don't want to pop Jimmy Jester's pimples. My hands are clamming up.
He needs it, though, man.
I'm not doing – I'm unwell right now.
By the way, he's in another weight loss competition. Imagine he'd probably lose 2 or 3 pounds just from whatever you were going to fucking do. Well, I don't want to –
You got to.
All right, I'll stop. I don't want to push you over the edge. I just think the audience would really be in favor of this. I mean, I've got my finger on the pulse. But you think that probably, I mean, it's just a foregone conclusion that's cancer, the upper right-hand side there?
If it's not there, it's on one of the others.
I did like that you had to take your head out of your hands to respond to that question. Real quick, let me get a couple of plugs out, Tor. Of course, we have some guys that need some plugs in, if you know what I mean. But we're not going to talk about that now. Couple of things I can promote: the brand new Fortress Film Society Blockbuster Video colored shirt. I said I had problems with that on the last episode, but I think we're cool now. Available right now on the Horde store, as Joe would say, on ChadDukeShow.com. Click the shop tab. You can pick that up. Also available now, all the 5th anniversary stuff is up. Pickle size hail, beef jerky, the pins, all the fun stuff. Please to be going to CommonwealthDryGoods.com. Put yourself a little order in, support the shop. We also got the beautiful Virginia Pizza Crusade enamel lapel pins, which I really am a big fan of. So grab all that stuff. Greatly appreciate the support and all the people that stop by the shop this weekend. All right. Damon Martin was going to join us, but he was having technical difficulties. I want to talk about this this link I tweeted out from Corey Taylor, who is the lead singer of Slipknot, going on one of these rock and roll jags that all these guys like to. But I meant to play this last week before we get to your hijinks out on the left coast, Gigantor. Mr. Eric Nagel, a friend of the show, former producer of Opie and Anthony, host of It's Eric Nagel. Very, very talented radio production guy, and a lot of the better stuff you hear on the show, E-Rock is responsible for, no disrespect to her.
None taken.
I think you'd probably relent to that.
I would.
He took some audio from, I believe it was The Fastest Hour in Radio. This is what we call repurposing, and I don't mean this as a shot to Jim or to Tor. They absolutely do not have any instincts when it comes to this shit. This is what real radio producers... I've never had... And by the way, here's a shot at every producer I've ever had. I've never had one producer that ever takes any initiative whatsoever. They're all... Well, that's not true. In this manner. Tor takes initiative. I will say that, amongst all producers, I would say you have taken the most... Where I'll come in and you'll have stuff ready or you'll have this or that. Never with guests. with events, though, you're very good at it. But this is next level shit. This is when you get a producer like E-Rock, that's a fucking A-list guy. He takes something funny that if it's not pulled out of a show, it just dies. It just goes away. But because E-Rock is a pro, he said, huh, Dukes said something funny. We can turn that into something else and then get a couple of laughs out of it. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but I feel like there's 70 to 80 moments during the week where we could be doing this shit, but I don't pay enough. It's probably that. But E-Rock, I don't know why this turned into attack on you guys. It's more meant to be a compliment to E-Rock. This is what elite producers do. I don't even remember singing this fucking song. I have no memory of it. This thing would have just gone into the ether. And E-Rock repurposed it and emailed it over to us. So, by the way, Eric, if you want to ever do that again, please continue to do so. I think it's great. This is from – am I singing about Jimmy?
Yes.
Okay. I start singing one song, and then I turn the song into being mean to Jim, which I think we're doing too much of lately, but we have to play this. This is from Eric Nagel.
I always say this, the people that I don't like keep succeeding in life, and the people that I like keep dying. So, Jester, you're cool. I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am, I am. I'm drinking tea from Bojangles' store. Jester's had seven kids before, and everyone isn't accounted for.
Accounted for!
One of them got drowned in the lake.
Fucking goat!
He lies about his kids, he's Jimmy. Jimmy still weighs 300 pounds. Second swig, worse than the first. I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am, I am. I'm drinking tea from Bojangles' store. Jester's had seven kids before, and everyone isn't accounted for.
Accounted for!
One of them got drowned in the lake.
Fucking goat!
He lies about his kids, he's Jimmy. Jimmy still weighs 300 pounds. Jimmy still weighs 300 pounds. Oh, no, that's Rob. I'm sorry, Jim. You lost a bunch of weight. You look great. Slim
Daddy. Thank you.
Slim Daddy, everybody. That's what we call him.
Wrong. Go fuck yourself.
I forgot the goat was so vicious on that.
Yeah, that was a very, that was a big fastest hour.
Oh, man, that was great. I don't even remember. I don't remember that. Yeah, I could you could tell that was not one of these sober shows that we've been doing as of late. So thank you to E-Rock. That's funny. Did you were you aware of that song before before hearing that? Henry the Eighth, I am.
The original.
Yeah,
the,
that's the tribute that I'm doing.
I was unaware of that song. Maybe I'll look into it now.
Color me completely shocked that you're unaware of a piece of music with instruments. Yeah, it's a good track. Thank you to E-Rock for that. That's pretty amusing.
The best barbecue in Virginia can only be found at Monk's Barbecue in Purcellville, Virginia. Check them out at Monk's BBQ on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and at monksq.com.
I cannot believe that Tor has never heard of the song Henry the Eighth I Am. For all the dumb things that I've said, that's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. And great job, E-Rock. I hate you. I love you. I hate you. Thank you. Great job, buddy. Wednesday show, it was Big Shood, Money Monk, a new named character, Big Salad, Joe Sandwich, and the tattoo daddy himself, me. We find out that Big Salad is a hypocrite and compares himself to the founder of the feast. There's a terrible news story that came out of the Outer Banks that we discuss. We have to clear the air of how Monk got annoyed at Flying Ace by some listeners. We have our weekly installment of the BMI, but what I have for you is Duke's got a chance to sit down with Damon Martin from MMA Fighting to discuss the fights from this past weekend.
Big Shoot is gaming and he wants you to be a part of it. Head over to Chad Duke Show Gaming on Facebook, turn on your notifications, and you'll know when Shooter is going live. Tune in to see big finishing moves, tall vampire ladies, and samurais in Tsushima. Follow Chad Duke Show Gaming to get all the info you need on any of the giveaways that take place as well.
The Chad Dukes show. Very excited. Good looking Wednesday out there. Good looking Wednesday to have one of my favorite guests to have on from MMAfighting.com. Mr. Damon Martin is on the Monk's Barbecue Hotline to discuss UFC 288, the fallout, and the like. Damon, always good to catch up, buddy. How are you?
I am good. Thanks for having me as always.
Boy, I tell you what, man, there's so much to talk about, and there was so much drama, especially in those final two matches of the night. I want to talk about Aljo and Cejudo and everything that happened, and then this weird-ass Diaz-Paul press conference that happened today. But I got to say, I've watched Bilal Muhammad fight before. I don't ever remember watching him dominate the way that he did in that fight. The leg kicks, the injuries to Gilbert Burns, who, as we all know, is tough as nails. That was about, I mean, the constant movement and stance switching. And anyone watching that fight is like, oh, Christ, give me anything but five rounds with that guy. He was the most impressive and a very impressive night to me watching that card.
Yeah, it was a really, you know, incredible performance. And again, remember, he did this on 2 weeks' notice without a training camp, coming off Ramadan. He was actually in Canada doing charity work when he got the call, or he actually made the call to try to get the fight. So this is what we got out of Bilal Muhammad with absolutely no training whatsoever. He just went in there and did it. And it was an amazing performance. Gilbert Burns, incredibly tough guy. He was, of course, coming off a win over Jorge Masvidal just a few weeks earlier. So hypothetically, the favor should have been for Gilbert Burns. He should have had at least a slight advantage in that fight. Bilal Muhammad just looked incredible, pushed a pace with his conditioning and the, as you said, the movement, the striking. It was just a really brilliant performance. And again, if you weren't a Bilal Muhammad believer before, you should be now.
It was crazy, too, is that I think it was the right arm kept getting kicked when Gilbert was trying to check those things, and it looked like it was just a swollen strawberry, but it was the left one that actually got injured. And you could see on it, it's always crazy to me. These guys are such alpha males. They have such a high competitive drive. But Burns, you could just see kind of the spark go out of his eyes, because I think it was Sonnen that said he switched from trying to win the fight to survive the fight. And it was kind of wild to see a guy like that go through it in the middle of something like that.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I mean, these guys have no quit in them. You know, that's why, you know, a lot of times, you know, guys like myself say, I wish we could see, you know, corners and coaches throwing in the towel more often, because fighters will go out there and battle until their last breath. I mean, we've seen guys, you know, literally, you know, hurt an ankle and you know, almost snap an ankle, and they're ready to bounce out there on one leg because that's just the way they're built. And Gilbert, you know, injuring his shoulder early in the fight, I think the injury actually happened in the first or second round, and then to continue going through that and also to mask it. I mean, they didn't really mention it on the broadcast until, I want to say, maybe the fourth round. So he went a couple of rounds where you didn't even know for sure he was injured because he just masked it so well. He was still throwing punches. He was still defending well enough to where you couldn't even really tell until later in the fight that he was dealing with a pretty bad, what could be a potentially really bad injury with, you know, some sort of torn muscle in his shoulder. So it's crazy the damage these guys take and continue to go out there and battle and fight through it. But again, when you're fighting another world-class guy like Bilal Muhammad, you're really, you know, it's like ice skating uphill. It's a long road to victory in that particular situation.
Is he going to be on the shelf now, Muhammad, that is, until Leon Edwards versus Colby Covington? Because that's not happening until later in the year, right? So does that mean that Bilal Muhammad's not fighting until 2024?
Yeah, so I spoke to Bilal yesterday and asked him that very question, and he basically said, yeah, I'm waiting. I mean, he's got his title shot. Yeah. It's guaranteed. He's getting the winner. And again, you know, we don't know the timeline. Obviously, Colby and Leon are, you know, probably going to fight September, October. Assuming they do that fight, then, you know, Bilal would fight again, let's say maybe February or March next year. Well, that seems like a long time. It ends up being about 9 months, 10 months. And you know, when you're getting a title shot, and again, he just took this fight on 2 weeks' notice. Again, he took a huge risk taking the Gilbert Burns fight. He won handily. At this point, you're playing with house money, man. Don't risk it. He's got the opportunity. And realistically, there's no one for him to fight. That's the other problem. You could say Kamaru Usman, but Usman's coming off 2 losses to Leon Edwards. If he loses to Usman, then it all goes away. There's really no one for him to fight anyhow. So, you know, sitting out, while not ideal, this is a situation where, you know, he says he's going to do it, and I believe he will.
Aljamain Sterling retains. He keeps his belt, and I think your website was the one that said in the most Aljamain Sterling fashion possible. And look, I didn't think it was tight, but I think that it was close, if that makes sense. And Cejudo, of course, with the massive layoff, but you know, this is a guy that's one of the greatest fighters of all time. Sterling getting booed in New Jersey. I don't know, man. I remember watching, there's fighters out there that, I remember watching Jake Shields, and I'm like, this isn't the most entertaining fight. I can appreciate his skill, but I don't necessarily feel, you know, I need to fork over $59.99 to watch this guy fight. I understand there's fans like that, but why do MMA fans seem to be so upset that this guy continues to win?
It really comes down to that one moment in his career when he got illegally struck in the head by a knee from Peter Yan and couldn't continue. 100%, that is really what's holding him back. That moment, for whatever reason, that it was not his fault. He didn't do it illegally. He just couldn't continue after he got blasted in the head with an illegal strike. And people just held that against him. And then, you know, he had the belt. He won the belt that way. It's not the way he wanted to win the belt. But then he lashed out a little bit. You know, people got offended that he posted celebration photos that night. And again, not his fault. His family was there celebrating him. He was just there, and people were taking photos. But then he leaned into it a little bit. He, you know, basically was more or less like, you know, screw you, it's not my fault. So he lashed out, and that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. And it just kind of snowballs from there. And so I think that's really what has turned, you know, until that point, you know, Aljamain was just a hardworking guy and a fun guy to watch. And you know, everyone was just kind of, I won't say indifferent to him, but didn't really seem, you know, one way or the other. And then that moment, you know, really changed everything to where, because through no fault of his own, he won a title in a disqualification. People are holding that against him, which, again, to me seems ridiculous. I've always said, if you want to blame somebody, blame Piotr Jan in that moment for throwing the illegal knee. And I think more fighters who take illegal strikes like that should probably say, hey, I'm not going to keep going, because you are, again, fighting an uphill battle when you've been injured, you've been struck illegally, and you're getting to go back out there after you've already maybe taken a concussion. Is it really the smartest idea to go fight again? I think it all really boils down to that one moment.
Well, it was like when I remember when Bones was doing his press conference after fighting Ciryl Gane, and he said, look, the guy, he said something very blunt. He says, the guy gets away with a lot of kicking people in the dick or something. And I wanted the ref to acknowledge that had just happened in the first round. And, you know, he's a guy that got his one loss because the elbow went up, down instead of left, right, or whatever it was supposed to go. And so he understands that. I'm with you. Like, if someone in any other sport, like, we acknowledge penalties and it's just something you might gripe about them and people have discourse, but I don't think that the players are then castigated for the rest of their careers about something that takes place. It's really outside of their control. I agree. I wish more MMA fighters would kind of embrace that.
Yeah. It's like the groin strike in MMA. You know, typically fighters are given 5 minutes to recover from a groin strike. And so many of them just kind of rush right back in there.
They're getting booed.
And listen, I am not an athlete. I am not a professional fighter, but I'm sure, like yourself, we have, you know, you've taken a low blow at some point in your life, and you do not just get up and run away from that in 2 minutes. It hurts. I mean, it's just legitimately hurts. And these guys, like, they rush back out there and fight after a minute. And I'm like, take your 5 minutes. I mean, no one's going to question that you just took a knee or a kick or whatever in a low blow. Take your time to recover. Even 5 minutes isn't really long enough, but at least take the full 5 minutes. And these guys are just, you know, again, they're built different. And it's almost like an alpha male mentality where they feel like they got to get right back out there and do it. And, you know, Bilal Muhammad, a great example of that. A big reason why people are kind of against Bilal Muhammad is because when he took another short notice fight against Leon Edwards a couple of years ago, he basically got a finger, you know, deep into his eye. He couldn't continue. He couldn't see. And people hold that against him, like he somehow backed out of a fight because he couldn't continue when a guy literally jabbed him in the eyeball with his finger. And I've taken a finger to the eyeball before, and I couldn't see for 3 days. I had to go to the eye doctor, and I couldn't see for 3 days straight. So, again, it's those little things, this weird, these guys and girls are built differently. They're the toughest people in the world. But when that one brief moment, when they show a little vulnerability, when they get poked in the eye or kicked low, suddenly they're not as tough as we thought they were. And it's ridiculous.
I remember sitting in it was the fight. What was it? It was Liddell versus Rashad Evans. And Rashad ended up highlight reeling him. And I think it was the Korean stun gun that was in there, and he was fighting and he won. And people were chanting USA at him. And I'm like, dude, this guy couldn't be more respectful. He couldn't be nicer. That's just MMA crowds are just, I know they keep the lights on. I want to think that, you know, all the tap out affliction wearing shirt guys, a lot of them turn into knowledgeable fans. And we're still dealing with a sport that's kind of in its infancy. But I hope we get past this guy gets kicked in the balls. They're not booing the guy that did the kicking. They're booing the guy that's sitting there not getting back in there and fighting, acting like he's milking it. I don't know. I hope at some point those fans start becoming a little bit more knowledgeable and, you know, reacting in a way that human beings might, you know, be expected to.
A great example, I don't know why I keep bringing up Bilal Muhammad, but another really funny example was he was fighting one time and the crowd was chanting USA, USA for his opponent. And Paul Felder on the broadcast said, he's from Chicago, you morons. Like, just hilarious. It's like your chant, like it's just that's the mentality that just makes you shake your head. Like because his name is Bilal Muhammad, you're gonna chant USA for his opponent. Bilal's from Chicago, you idiots. Like you know,
he has not one scintilla of an accent, by the way, when he speaks, which makes that whole thing. So
but
crazy.
Paul Felder calling him out in the broadcast, he literally said, he's like, he's from Chicago, you morons. And I just cracked up laughing. I was just like, that is the perfect reaction.
Cejudo had his gloves off after the fight, and he's a heady guy, so I'm glad he took a moment. Now he's right back into it, you know, calling guys out and that he's going to fight again. Two questions for you, Damon. What did you think about him having the gloves off? What changed? And then I would assume he's top five still in that division after, you know, such an impressive performance after that layoff.
Yeah, it was interesting. I kind of had the thought going in that if he had lost that he might just walk away again because Henry was coming back to become champion and kind of cement his legacy. He had talked about fighting Aljamain, fighting Sean O'Malley, and then going up and fighting Alexander Volkanovski at featherweight. And then losing, I was like, well, this might be it. Like, he might just be one and done. He didn't look bad. He actually looked great. It was a close fight. I mean, I scored it for Aljamain, but it was a good fight. He looked good in there. And after 3 years away, that's not an easy thing to do. But, you know, he did. It looks like he's changed his mind. He's going to stick around, and I'm glad. You know, I think the sport is a better place with Henry Cejudo in it. He's an incredible athlete, a gold medalist in wrestling. So, you know, incredible fighter. And, again, it looks like he is going to stick around. You know, we'll see what actually matchups are out there for him. And yeah, he's absolutely still a top five guy. I mean, I would argue, you know, talent wise, he's probably still top three. I just think he needs to go out there and actually, you know, beat somebody else in the rankings to get higher. You can't, even as good as he is and taking Aljamain, you know, to the brink in that fight, you can't just jump back in and completely eradicate what guys like Corey Sandhagen or Mirab Dawalishvili, guys like that, what they have been doing. But in terms of talent, Henry Cejudo is still a top three, top four guy in the world.
Yeah, I'd agree. Two fun little stories. I love the Platinum Perry Conor McGregor stuff, and I love that Dana's claiming that he wasn't pissed off about it. They're like, hey, Conor's just a fan. I heard Feldman say they didn't pay Conor anything to be there, which is very difficult to believe considering the hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars worth of publicity that he got, that they got from him being there and having that face off and having the title over his shoulder. I gotta say though, I mean, we all know how Dana White can be a hothead, and you bring up Oscar De La Hoya, he'll sit there and scream at you for 15 minutes, but I'm very surprised to hear him say that he's okay with one of his fighters, especially his most important fighter, having another promotion's title over his shoulder.
Yeah, I was actually a little surprised at Dana's reaction. I thought maybe he would go a little more nuclear, but you know, we always say it and it's true. Conor McGregor lives under a different set of rules than everybody else. And I think that, you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. And Dana's about to start promoting a lot of Conor McGregor with the Ultimate Fighter starting in a couple of weeks. And, of course, him coming back with the fight against Michael Chandler. There's a new Conor McGregor documentary coming on Netflix next week that's, you know, going to get a lot of attention. So I think Dana, you know, again, everyone says Conor McGregor lives under a different set of rules. I think Dana's reaction is a prime example of that, because I think if it had been anybody else, he probably would have been a little more upset or maybe had a few more things to say. But it's Conor, and you know, Conor does, you know, as Conor says, that, you know, what Conor wants, Conor gets, and the double champ does what the bleep he wants. So I think that's the scenario there. And listen, good for BKFC. I've actually been a big fan of BKFC for a while. I really like their product, and weirdly, you know, again, unbiased as a journalist, but I'm always happy to see, you know, promotions do well and find success. And because we need that in combat sports, we can't just be, you know, built around only one organization being the UFC. There needs to be competition out there. And, you know, BKFC is a, and also, I think also to Dana's point, BKFC is different. You know, this isn't Bellator or PFL or somebody coming for his market share. BKFC is bare knuckle fighting. Not everyone is going to want to do that. And so I think he knows that, like, while they are, you know, an organization on the rise and could potentially become a major player or are becoming a major player, I don't really think he sees them as a threat in that regard, because they're not MMA. They are bare knuckle fighting.
I love the product. And I also like seeing Mendez versus Eddie Alvarez is a barn burner. And those, you know, those guys are at a different stage of their career, but those are top level fighters, you know, mixed martial artists going in there and looking good. And those cards are entertaining and I enjoy them. So I'm with you. I root for that product. I like seeing guys from other fight promotions compete in there because you see Luke Rockhold. Look, we were just talking about what Gilbert Burns was doing, masking an injury. Luke Rockhold got his face split open, his teeth fall out, and he's like, I've had enough of this shit. Like, I also understand that part of it, too. As crazy as that is, because I went back to that Robbie Lawler fight where he had his lip split all the way up to underneath his eyeball, and he kept fighting Roy McDonald, I believe it was, in that fight. That was, I guess, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it's so funny you say that. I literally just got off the phone with Dave Feldman, the BKFC president, about a half hour ago. We were doing an interview. And, of course, he paid a lot of credit to Luke Rockhold for going in there and trying it out and you know, putting his body on the line for that. Had nothing but praise for Luke Rockhold. But every conversation I've ever had with Dave Feldman over several years since BKFC first started was that, you know, this sport is a different animal. It's not for everybody. And you know, some guys are going to thrive there, like Mike Perry, who's become kind of the face of BKFC, or even Eddie Alvarez, who went in there and looked like a natural at it on day one. And it's not going to be for other people. People are going to step in there and do it. I mean, Pauly Malignaggi tried it once, and boy, did he go, you know, skirting out of there pretty quickly after that. And again, you know, obviously, and I don't hold anything against Luke Rockhold. Like, you know, he's a legend. He's been around, but he did it. He knocked it off the bucket list, and he's kind of like, yeah, I don't think this is for me. And that's okay. You know, it's not for everybody.
Rothwell's a great ambassador for that sport, though. That's a guy that, like, I remember in Sin City, there was some quote. It was like, you know, if he was born 1,000 years ago, they'd be feeding people like to Marv. And that's that, I just get the feeling like that with Rothwell. Like, that guy should be in a gladiator pit somewhere fighting for his life with a sword. Whatever he wins, and he's just screaming and yelling and wiping blood on himself. I enjoy that. What was the other thing? Oh, the I saw you tweeting about the Diaz Jake Paul face off. I watched the video. Very odd. I guess Diaz also walked away from the podium and in the middle of the thing. Is that just, you know, the way the cookie crumbles when you deal with the Diaz brothers? They march to the beat of their own drummer?
Yeah, it was supposed, the press conference was supposed to start at 2:00 Eastern, and as soon as they said that the event was delayed, I actually joked with my coworkers. I said, what's the over under on this thing actually starting at 2:30? And it didn't start until like 2:40. That's just, again, that's, you know, the nature of dealing with the Diaz brothers or Conor McGregor. You're living in their world on their time. The press conference is rather bizarre. I agree with Nate, like, not having people there was really weird. It was just like, it seemed like five members of the media and then the guys on stage. It was a really odd setup. It's in Dallas, and while Dallas is obviously a huge city, it's not a hub where, like, everyone's close. Like, if you did it in Vegas, there's a lot of media who just lives in Vegas. You do it in L.A., there's a lot of media that just lives in L.A. Dallas is a weird one, so you're basically asking media to fly into Dallas for a 45-minute press conference, which, you know, just isn't going to happen. So you're not going to have a ton of representation there in terms of media. And then not opening it up to the crowd, I mean, you're doing it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday afternoon. It's kind of a weird – it was a weird setting. And the questions and answers were odd. You had one guy pitching to fight Nate's brother. And, yeah, not the smoothest press conference, but after attending a lot of UFC press conferences, I can tell you that one still went probably smoother than some of those. But, yeah, it was a weird setting, and Nate got up to go use the bathroom at one point. It's just, you know, it's, I don't know, like I said, it's a bit of a circus sideshow.
Is Jake Paul still affiliated with PFL? I feel like there was that big video and the announcement, and we're going to do this super fight division, and I feel like I haven't heard dick about that since it happened.
He is still signed there. He actually mentioned that during the press conference. Somebody asked him about fighting Nate in mixed martial arts, and he said, I'm signed to the PFL. And listen, I don't know. You know, everyone's convinced Jake's going to fight MMA. Maybe he will. I don't know if I ever believe he will. I mean, is it good marketing to get a guy like Jake Paul involved and having him there to promote your events and having him, you know, help build the pay-per-view business for PFL, which, you know, we'll see how successful that will be, because pay-per-view is the toughest business to tackle in 2023. You know, very few people can succeed at that now. So maybe he'll help there. But, yeah, he's still PFL bound. Will he ever fight? I do cast a little doubt on that. Maybe if he loses to Nate Diaz in a boxing match, maybe he'll say, okay, I've tried boxing, now let me try MMA. But yeah, he's still there. He's still signed. And, you know, he does have equity in the organization. I think that you know, he's probably going to play some part in Francis Ngannou potentially going there. I know there's a lot of buzz about that being a potential landing spot for Francis. So, yeah he's still there. Will he fight? That's a different question.
Last question for you. I saw Evil Dead Rise on Monday, and I saw that you were tweeting about it and kind of gave it a power ranking over on Nerdcore Movement about where it ranks in with all the Evil Dead movies. I felt like that was very difficult to do because it just there were definitely homages and instances where I felt like it was an Evil Dead movie, but it also felt very different to me than all the rest of those movies, including the reboot or the sequel or the whatever they call them now that came out a few years ago. I really liked it, and there was some really great horror violence in that movie, but I don't know where I would put it in regards to Army of Darkness and the rest of those films.
Yeah, I loved it, and a little spoiler alert for my post on social media. I put Evil Dead Rise number one because it was my favorite. Because I am not a massive Evil Dead fan. I appreciate what they are, and I do like the films, but I am not a fan of like horror with like goofy elements to it. I like either horror or horror comedy. Zombieland, I love Zombieland. I love Shaun of the Dead. But other than that, give me like a real horror film. And I thought Evil Dead Rise was perfectly that. The Evil Dead remake from 2013 was great as well. And I appreciate Bruce Campbell. I really do like the original Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. Army of Darkness is a little goofier. But again, I just feel like they're different films. And if you're asking me as a hardcore horror fan which one I like best, I like Evil Dead Rise.
How great was that eyeball scene? That was, I mean, I stood up in the theater and went, what the fuck, as soon as I saw that. And I just can't wait for people to, because I know it's got to get on video on demand for some people to even consider a movie like that. But I was so glad I went to see it in the theater with the Shining homages and the Evil Dead homages. It was really great. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah, between that and the cheese grater, you have a whole new appreciation for kitchen utensils.
I love the cheese grater. I was pining away for a Bruce Campbell cameo, but we can't always get what we want. It is at-
he was Bruce Campbell was in there. Bruce Where? Campbell was in that movie. The vinyl record that they play without any spoilers with the voices, he was one of the voices.
Get out of here. Was he really?
Yeah, he was. There's one part where you hear a guy in the background saying like, don't do this, don't open the book. That's Bruce Campbell.
Dude, they had this great, I don't know if you've ever been to an Alamo Draft House, but they do this great like 30-minute clip show where they put like old trailers and all stuff that has to do with the movie. And they had a commercial for the I think it was the Army of Darkness or Evil Dead video game for the original Xbox. And it was just so funny seeing how progressive I thought those graphics were back in the day and just how clunky they look now. And it ends with Bruce Campbell chasing his neighbor with a chainsaw, which I was very excited about. Check that out on YouTube if people haven't seen that. Nerdcoremovement.com for that top list there. And, of course, MMA Fighting and at Damon Martin on Twitter and Instagram. Great stuff as always, Damon. Thank you very much, bud.
Thanks for having me.
The great Damon Martin, everybody, on the Monk's Barbecue Hotline.
The Virginia Pizza Crusade is on a mission to find the best slices in the Commonwealth. To keep up with the reviews, be sure to follow the Virginia Pizza Crusade on Instagram, at Virginia Pizza Crusade.
Man, Damon is such a good interview. I really like that guy. He's got such a mind full of knowledge. And him and Duke's going back and forth. It's very, very entertaining. Thursday, though, Duke's brought in Loud Goat, and we brought you the fastest hour in radio. We answer certain questions like the new Mortal Kombat announcement. Was that disappointing? Can a rock album by Dolly Parton be a success? Is guilt tipping at self-checkout registers a thing? And the new Beetlejuice, could that be a disaster? All of those questions, plus a little more. So what I pulled out for you guys, the Mortal Kombat conversation, and we find out from a story from Dukes that he had a nickname growing up. Kudos for him for admitting this.
If you want to become a Chad Duke Show Facebook subscriber, it's very, very easy. Head to the Chad Duke Show on Facebook, hit the Subscriber Hub button, and follow the steps to gain access to the secret supporter group chat and get the bonus show video backlogs.
I believe, as you're a fan of Procedure Ghost,
I am.
And as Procedure would stipulate, Loud Goat goes third. Minister of Yin. Get those shirts out there.
Yeah, does that come with a little like desk placard?
I'm sure I can arrange it.
Is it painted on the door of the glass of the door of my office?
Speaking of logos, I know that it's not that show right now, but the beautiful Blockbuster Video Color Edition Fortress Film Society tees.
I saw that announcement, yeah.
Very, very nice. Available on the, if Joe would call it the Horde Store, go to chaddukeshow.com or go to Bustle's website. There's links on all of our social media. You can pick one up. They are quite fetching, and a lot of you bitched and said you didn't get one of the black and white ones, so go get one of the navy blue and yellow ones, please.
Apologies, Horde. I didn't finish.
Oh, God. I hate Joe so much. So very, very much.
So moving into other things that you might not be super fond of, the cryptic nature of Mortal Kombat
information. I'm in the throes of it, Ghost.
That just gets dripped and drabbed out there, and just you never know what's coming out, and you never know what anything means. Now, there's a certain aspect that I kind of like, the, ooh, it's a little bit of a puzzle, but also you almost don't know if it's just trolling either.
Nobody does this. No other industry does this. Do they fuck with their fan base as much as NetherRealm
does? And the weirdest part, I think the most disappointing thing about this announcement, if you can even call it that, up until now, is that the confirmation came during an earnings phone call from the CEO of Warner Discovery.
How long have we been waiting if that didn't happen?
And who might also be one of the least likable people in Hollywood, and that's kind of saying something at this point. But so you get that kind of lukewarm sort of, oh yeah, and there's a Mortal Kombat game coming out.
They clearly have no idea the passion and the fan base and the way that Mortal Kombat fans pour over every character Ed Boon tweets out.
It's what I remember, what I liken it to is the day after an episode of Lost would air, and there were people out there doing frame-by-frame breakdowns of every scene.
True Detective was like that, too.
Yeah, and they were reading so much into everything, and ultimately, just, I like to just let it wash over me and let it happen.
Go the fuck outside.
And maybe wait for the actual announcement.
Also, you have things to do in your life.
I do.
Activities?
Some of them, yeah. I mean, maybe they're better than this. I'm not sure. Depends on the day. But in any case, the latest little nugget of information is a 17-second video with a clock ticking that was released on the intro net.
That was today,
from the Mortal Kombat official Twitter account. On Wednesday, May 10th, around midday or
yesterday,
so.
Yesterday, I suppose.
And it has a clock ticking, and rather than stopping on 12, it goes right past it to 1, and everybody has now run wild with speculation. The current speculation is that it might be teasing another timeline reset for the lore. Now, I'm not as familiar with the lore of Mortal Kombat since the first or second game as you might be, but I am familiar with timelines being reset and how it can be polarizing, I guess, in some forms of fiction.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are a fan of probably multiple IPs where there's different generations of... it's been around long enough where there's eras, right?
By ply.
Star Wars is very easy. It's prequels. It's the... Judd Apatow, what's the guy's name? J.J. Rogan. Fucking
Abrams,
His shit.
And they did nuke all of the extended universe books and comics that had come before, so there was that reset there, which was a bummer for a lot of people who'd invested time in that.
Mortal Kombat has one of the most muddled and convoluted backstory histories, canons you ever want. Jax has gotten his robot arms 100 different ways. By the way, they gave him a completely different way in the new shitty movie that came out to get his arms. So what everyone is at the end of Mortal Kombat 11, spoiler alert, there's a divergent path. There's two different endings. One is Liu Kang wins. He defeats Kronika and becomes the Emperor of Space. He becomes a Titan, pretty much. He's bestowed with Raiden's powers, and he has Fire God Liu Kang powers, and we see him go back in time to visit with the great Kung Lao, not the annoying Kung Lao that flips around and throws his fucking hat at you. And so the other timeline is Shang Tsung wins. And he is evil warlord over all of fucking existence. Most people think we're going to go with the Liu Kang side as far as canon goes. And it's going to be based in the original Mortal Kombat tournament. The reason why that isn't smart if they just do that is no cyborgs. There's a shitload of fucking characters that people love that weren't around back then. So that's why they think that there's going to be... just time travel up the asshole.
Some sort of cataclysmic, thin spaces in the universe, that sort of thing.
That sort of thing, like the Black House, except this hopefully is entertaining. I don't mind it. There's characters that we've never been at. The Great Kung Lao would be fun to play with. King Gorbach is Goro's father. I've always wanted to have him as a sub-boss. Mortal Kombat's known for their sub-bosses. We didn't have one in the last game. We haven't had one in a while, actually, so... people are hoping that returns. There's a fucking the Dragon King. Some people are thinking he comes back. So there's just a shitload you could do. And I don't know. Simplifying DC Comics does this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like
the full reset. Yeah.
It never goes, it never smooths everything over. So I don't know. I trust NetherRealm to make a fun game. I trust, I know I'm going to enjoy it unless, I don't even go there, but like, unless it goes the way everything else goes. But I think, yeah, I think that's pretty obvious what they're doing is they're resetting the clock and kind of maybe combining. Because the first trailer was a fucking just grains of sand falling from an hourglass.
Yeah.
And so I think people are believing those are all universes that could potentially contain characters from the Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Universe.
I mean, I can see that being, and again, I guess it's one of those things where in fighting games specifically, the lore, there are people who are very invested and there yes. are other people who just don't care as long as the characters are cool and it plays well. So
I mean, this story is just so batshit every time. That
right.
It's, I'm not the story mode. I'm not all that invested in. But the, what Mortal Kombat fans are invested in is, I'm sure you can relate with Street Fighter. There are characters that have
that mean something.
They have rabid yes. fan. The Melina yeah. fans can go fucking screw. I am so tired of fucking Melina. They are never happy if she's in the game or not. They're not happy. They're awful, awful people. So I'm hoping she's not in the game.
Well, that's something to look forward to. And I mean, I am a fan of the Metal Gear Solid series. And so convoluted timelines and,
oh, yes.
and incredibly arcane bits of canon, meaning something completely different from game to game, but all still being valid,
yeah.
is something I've come to grips with on a couple of different IPs. But I think Metal Gear is probably the only one I can totally give it a complete pass with, just being so utterly confusing and layered that it's actually intriguing.
Yeah.
Other stuff, it can just get so heavy that you just start to tune it out. And you just yeah. are like, all right, let me get back to the game.
Well, the other thing that Street Fighter doesn't have to deal with this is that the non-stop, never-ending debate on guest characters. Because what Mortal Kombat does is they go out and they acquire the rights to beloved
right.
characters, which is awesome, by the way. I got to play as Rambo in Mortal Kombat, which is fucking
it's great. It's pretty nifty, yeah.
RoboCop, Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees. Like, go down the list. They got Kratos from God of War. Like, there's a bunch of fucking awesome. I mean, you're playing it as the Terminator, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is voicing the Terminator.
Yeah.
And they're doing, and they do a great job of adapting the fatalities and the moveset, the shit that actually happened in the films. So you're doing shit that, like, you watch. When Sly is escaping from Brian Dennehy, he does this nifty little slide into a fucking
yeah.
elbow. You can do that in the game.
Oh, no kidding.
To Scorpion. Yeah,
okay, that's pretty great.
So, like, that's Ghostface and Doom Guy and Michael Myers. It's the same fucking names I keep hearing over and over again that everybody wants. They really want, who's the blonde dude from The Boys?
Oh,
not Peacemaker.
I
what's his name? Homelander. They really want Homelander. And apparently there's been a leak that, because Ed Boon's got a big old fucking throbbing hard on for DC because he makes the Injustice games too. So they're saying John Cena's Peacemaker is somebody that's probably going to show
not
up.
Not going to lie, that would be fucking, that'd be fucking fun.
It's whether or not, also, a lot of these people don't want to get cut to shreds. Like, a lot of, like, it's like, hey, you have to have brutalities performed on these characters.
Right.
And fatalities performed on these characters. So they might
there's like a
that.
Protection to their IP kind of thing going
yeah,
on. Like,
yeah, that's why Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat apparently was like good to go, and the one holdup was Capcom said, you're not cutting Ryu's head off.
That sounds about right.
You're not gonna fucking do that.
That I feel like that checks out. Yeah.
And if anybody played Marvel versus DC, you know you cannot dumb down the fatalities. It's embarrassing, and it embarrasses everybody involved. They have to be brutal. So there's that.
So yeah, I mean, I hopefully, for your sake, and actually for anybody out there who's looking forward to Mortal Kombat, I hope they at least pull it off right.
Thank you.
And mostly, I hope the game plays well.
Ed Boon does a great job. In the past three Mortal Kombat games might be the best three Mortal Kombat games when you go 9, 10. The only thing that I don't like about it is the common thought is the 3D era, which
I saw a lot of speculation that it might be moving to 3D, and I'm kind of,
well,
I would hope it wouldn't.
I don't think so. I think they're just going to bring back a lot of those characters.
Okay.
Because there's this weird renaissance. The 3D era is Deception and Armageddon and fucking Dual Alliance, whatever the fucking name it is. I really did not like any of that.
It aged
very poorly. So
could they pull characters at least from there and make it work as long as the long as the game functions properly?
Yeah, but 9, 10, and 11 were all really, really good games. So I have high hopes, and I trust Ed Boon in that group.
Fingers crossed.
All right. Well, thank you for doing a Mortal Kombat. Sorry, goat, so I can scream and yell and do what I like. Wave my arms around. Get those cuts in. All right, Kevin, we all know what Booker T said. Jesus Christ. He's fucking in the chat telling people. Lay off.
His immediate remorse is my favorite part of that clip.
He loves making gringos uncomfortable. My guy Kevin Smith does.
When he does the two hands, there, the hand it, on each side of his head after he lets it slip during the promo.
You know, the fucking Kevin comes up to me and he goes, hey, Dukes, you know what my favorite part
of Gangs of New York is. I'm like, what? He goes, you know when he's in the church and he doesn't want that guy in there? And I'm like, Kevin, I know what he says.
We've all seen the movie.
Father, did you know that there's a...
Shoot,
he just comes up. I'll be like, fucking, there'll be people in line at the shop and he'll come up and like start whispering to me about it.
Guess what?
I think, what, are you there? You probably are there.
Most likely, yes.
Kevin does that. It makes me uncomfortable. All right, boys. No AI in this story.
Aww.
I know. Much to your chagrin. A nickname I used to have younger growing up, Butterball, reveals a new hearty Turkey Carlson. He's going to launch a media company. A new hearty turkey sausage link out of their hearty lines.
Ooh.
70% less fat, according to Butterball. These are turkey sausage links as butcher style with a coarse texture loud note.
Oh.
It will come in two flavors, old world smoked and Polish style. Both sound pretty fetching to me.
Yeah.
Butterball hearty turkey sausage, pre-cooked, gluten-free. You can find them in 12-ounce packages or bun length at select retailers. With a wider launch coming. Me and Benny Alvarez used to have launch together. Fall 2023 in autumn.
So they're out now if you can find them.
Yes.
But they'll go wide in the fall. I'm actually intrigued by this.
Big hot take coming from Dukes here. Got no fucking problem with turkey bacon, turkey sausages, turkey pepperoni. I'm not going to say every time I like it better than the original, but there are plenty of times when I'm eating fucking something that is, you know, pork-based or beef-based, and I'm like, it's a little too greasy. And I actually, at times, I'll say, prefer the turkey version. I'm very excited by this.
I'm actually really intrigued by this. I would say, turkey burgers just don't...
They stink on
ice. They don't fly. But I would say anything like that, like a pepperoni, because it's seasoned.
Yes.
And you've got the seasoning is really... one of the, you know, the real star of the show, especially if you're doing a good sausage. Like the seasoning, the preparation, the smoking, like that's where you're getting that flavor from. So I can see this. I mean, and also if it's good turkey and it's coarse ground, then you're also maybe, you know, I think good turkey's good.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about, you know, the ways that you can prepare turkey for Thanksgiving that are so much better than what people think of when they think
they
of the dry out of the oven pieces of jerky that you weren't expecting when you get it off of the bird. This could work. I really am looking forward to checking this out. Now, it's a 70% less fat. I'd be interested to know what the other numbers are and how those are different, because usually a lot of times when you get something that's an alternative, the sodium goes way up.
So, yeah. I have all those. Well, I would also say, Goat, that normally I would think people prefer chicken to turkey, but in this instance, as I also believe on a cold cut sandwich, turkey the superior meat.
I agree.
Turkey sausage, I always like better. A chicken sausage is all of them that I've had have been pretty fucking dry. I haven't really found a good one yet. So, and I'm with you on the turkey kind of has gotten the peeps jag and the fucking people just, they have decided they hate candy corn and they decided that they're edgy if they talk about how much they hate candy corn. And I feel that turkey falls into that category where you've never deep fried a turkey if this is the way you feel about it. Like, you've just never done it. And you can also cover it with enough oil and bacon and put it in the fucking oven. It's going to be fine. I got to test to that myself.
Yeah, you're living proof.
Yeah. I love a nice big bird. And I think I've said multiple times in my life, I wish this wasn't a one-time-a-year meal. I wish this is something that we can enjoy at other times. But
yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. Like, the offset smoking of a turkey is one of my favorite things. I usually get a turkey that's way bigger than I know I'm going to get people for on Thanksgiving, just so I can have sandwiches over the next
right.
couple of weeks. Because I make sure that there's plenty to go around at the end of the night.
Our buddy Neil Papalakalaka, I think he does two turkeys, one to eat and one just for sandwiches.
Specifically, yeah that sounds about
he has
right.
A sandwich turkey.
Yeah. We used to do Thanksgiving Part Two, where we would cook a bird on Friday. Like, my dad would just buy an extra turkey, and he'd
not?
Be like, hey, guess what? Everybody took all of this home. We're doing another one. And it's like, yeah.
And we have all the sides.
It's like second Christmas at that point.
You know what a depressing fucking day is? Walk down the stuffing aisle 363 days a year and see nothing's gone. You're like, stuffing's great. I love stuffing. By the way, the worst stuffing I've ever had is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
That shitty box of shit from what is it's not stovetop, right? There's some Mandela effect where there's a stuffing product that doesn't exist and we all think it does.
Oh, okay. Cause a stovetop is the classic one that had the massive advertising campaign.
I know, but there's something about that we misremember. Jim, are you looking it up? It'll just be a moment.
even though again, it's just the boxed stuffing and you boil some water and throw it in there, it's still just fine.
Stovetop's the top one that comes up.
I know that, but never mind.
Anyway,
type in stuffing Mandela.
So turkey sausage.
Yeah. I just came up with a really good idea.
Uh huh.
What day is Thanksgiving? It's probably in June.
Well, because Thanksgiving, it's in May.
It's in May.
Yeah,
we're in May.
Yes, we are in May. So I guess if you wanted to be fully traditional, it would be the fourth Thursday in May.
Fourth Thursday in May.
Because you'd want it to be on a Thursday, it being Thanksgiving, or.
Do you know where I'm headed?
I might.
The Thanksgiving hootenanny.
I might have said if you wanted to do it on a Friday evening instead of a Thursday.
I think that would be the call. Get the fucking sides up in here. Get a big turkey up in here. I bet Monk would do the turkey for us, unless you're volunteering. Love,
I mean, I'm not going to take Monk's spot as far as cooking things is concerned. If we can convince him, I will certainly be the reserve.
Dude, his fucking, all the shit that you get from his place around then is just so goddamn great.
Yeah, so I'm definitely if we can secure his services, I'm definitely not going to step on those toes.
All right, Jester, you didn't find the Mandela effect yet.
No,
Kevin, you got it.
Is it Stouffer stovetop?
It might be Stouffer stovetop stuffing.
And that, is that it's not made by
and
Stouffer's.
That product does not exist.
Yeah,
it's weird. By the way, people confuse them. They want to ascribe the Mandela effect to being stupid. Like, you're just not right. Darth Vader never said, Luke, I am your father.
Yeah.
You should know that.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah, Brody never said, fucking, you're going to need a bigger boat or we're going to need a bigger boat, whichever one is the incorrect one. Like, you're just misquoting the movie, but people want to say, like, it's the Mandela effect. We're all misremembering. And it's like, no, we're not. People are just dumb in that way. The Mandela effect is everyone thought that fucking Nelson Mandela died in prison and he didn't. That's an actual thing that, you know.
And there were enough people that believed it that it became like, wait, am I wrong? Am I right? I don't know. There's no way. There was no way to really check. And it was very prevalent before the internet.
Very much so, where everyone could immediately Google it. What are you doing there, Jim?
Just writing my notes down.
What does your notes say?
All about the show and the topics.
How does so much shit get fucked up if you take so many notes?
It's a very good question. I can't read some of my notes.
I mean, I was about to say, I'm looking at the handwriting over here, and that might be the solution.
It could be it. Well, write down, contact Monk about Thanksgiving hootenanny. I think that's a no-brainer.
Friendos, if you're in the area, make sure you visit Commonwealth Dry Goods in scenic Old Town Fairfax. They have the very best in local candles, peanuts, gifts, chocolates, olive oil, hot sauce, along with ice-cold cheer wine, and both types of music on vinyl. You can check them out on Instagram and Facebook at Commonwealth Dry Goods or order online today at CommonwealthDryGoods.com.
Thanksgiving Hootenanny is such a great idea. I can't wait to do this. By the way, I forgot to text Monk on Thursday about that, so he'll be getting a text message today, or hopefully he'll just listen to the show. And I really want Ant-Man to come in here and eat as much as humanly possible, because if I have to get another tattoo, I'm going to be pissed. But thank you guys so much for checking out the show. If you want to keep up with everything, www.chaddukeshow.com. We have links there to everything you need. You can get your subscription if you don't have one. Stop by the shop. We have the new Fortress Film Society shirts up there. They're kind of blockbuster-esque looking shirts. I like it a lot. I'm going to grab me one of those this weekend. Down at the bottom of the page will be all the social posts if you want to keep up with those. Twitter, it's at Chad Dukes. Instagram, it's at Chad Dukes Show. And Facebook.com/The Chad Dukes Show. As always, we love to thank our sponsors, Money Monk and Monk's Barbecue out in Percival, Virginia, as well as Flying Ace Farm in Lovettsville, Virginia. Both of those places, outstanding. Check them both out if you haven't. Joe Azer came in and sat in on Tuesday night and watched our shenanigans for the Wednesday show. Looking to buy or sell a home in the Northern Virginia area, or just general questions at all, 571-989-AZER. That's 571-989-2937. And if you're feeling a little sluggish, Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Go to don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the Dukes promo code for 10% off your entire order. And let me not forget my guy, Dixer. Dixer Tattoo Worldwide. Go to DixerTattoo.com if you want to check out his site and look at his work. Really great dude. Did really, really good work on my back. I can't see it, but everybody tells me it's good.
All right, guys, I hope you get out to Commonwealth Dry Goods this weekend for the release of the Rodcast CD. And just enjoy this weekend. Be with your loved ones. Be with your family. And if the good Lord is willing and the creeks don't rise, Shoot and Tor will see you back here on Monday. Roll out the
eat it, boy!
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.